Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Would you please touch people on both sides of you and say, this is highly controversial. Just tell somebody this is highly controversial.
What's new, right?
This is highly controversial. And now tell the same people or turn around and tell somebody else, this is going to be hard to hear. Hard to hear. It's going to be hard to hear this. I'm going to beat my head against the wall today. You hear me? I'm going to beat my forehead bloody against the wall of religion today. I'm going to do it. I came totally prepared to do it.
What's new?
I'm telling you that from the seed, from the moment of our conception, when God's word brought life to us, there was a war that began, a war. Your mind warring against the Lord. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And religion has filled our minds with thoughts that are forces, great forces that are wrong and are destructive, and the church is as crazy as the world. The church is as stressed out as the world. You have the same grief and fears and concerns as people in the world, and you're supposed to be delivered from that. But we won't allow God to do. We feel like we're supposed to be doing. Right? Because we've got verses that have been twisted in our heads. Are you hearing me? We thought be doers of the word meant get up and do something. But being a doer of the word is believing. I don't have any of these verses, but I'll show them to you. I didn't give them to my people. Go to John chapter 6. Are you ready to be transformed? Yes. Is there anybody here ready? Yes. Is there anybody in this house ready to hear the word of the Lord? Yes. You need to turn to John chapter 6. Oh my God, I'm gonna wreck your world. I could have called you, several of you, by name today. I feel like several of you are being targeted by the Holy Spirit to be converted. You think I'm already converted. Do you know that this church, this Pentecostal church, took it on years ago to be responsible to convert the rest of Christianity to Pentecostalism?
Yeah.
Did you know that? We thought we existed to change other denominations to our doctrine, as if they didn't have anything, and we were the ones. Well, we beat that devil. Because now we got a whole bunch of people that believe a whole bunch of different stuff coming to one church. And we can't make any sense of it at all, except we're supposed to love one another. Oh, John 6, I got my finger here. Listen to me. Do you want to know why God didn't make certain things plain? What's plain to you, plain to me. You want to know why there's controversy in denominations, 272 different denominations in America? 272 wonderful, smart, intelligent groups of people that believe opposite things. Some people say women have to wear covers on their heads and men cannot wear a hat. Some say men have to wear a hat and women can't wear anything on their heads. I just think everybody ought to do whatever they feel like doing and quit the hat thing. Some people say you got to go to church on Saturday because it's a Sabbath, and a bunch of people say you got to go to church on Sunday. So there are some churches where women sit on one side and men sit on the other side. There are some churches that believe women have to wear long dresses They can't wear anything that would wrap both legs up at once, like pants. It's true. That's the truth. I know people, women, that won't wear pajamas to bed. They have to wear a robe thing to bed because they're not supposed to. I'm just telling you, church is goofy. Church's ideas are crazy. And we can't figure out, listen, what exactly are we supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do? I'm going to read John 6. I don't know if we can get to this. John 6, 28. I don't know if you can print that up there. John chapter 6. You need to take notes if you don't have your Bible. You should write this down. This is John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they asked him, speaking of Jesus, what must we do to do the work God requires? Is it up here? Is that a big question or not? What does God require? What's the next verse say? Verse 29. He answered, the work of God is this. Believe. Nobody ever told me that. I'm telling you that he has come today to set you free. But he's going to dig all the way back to the pit from whence you were digged. He's going to go all the way back to the mine from whence you were pulled. He's going back to your roots. Listen to me. It isn't doing. It's believing. Is that what that says? What do we do? We got to know what to do because they were coming out of the Mosaic law where you had a bunch of stuff you had to do. And they said, Jesus, now you tell us, you're the only one that really knows. Tell us, what are we supposed to do? Is there anybody here that asked that question in your life about how you're supposed to be a good Christian, how you're supposed to dress, where you're supposed to go, not supposed to go? Anybody wanted to know? I just want you to know there's a verse right there that makes it real simple for you. Today, go back to being like a child. Do you remember the verse where Jesus said, if you're going to enter the kingdom, you have to become like a little child, or you will in no wise see the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom. What's he saying? You don't have a degree. You don't know how to mow the lawn. You don't know how to wipe the dishes properly. You know, I just came back from the Boundary Waters, and I was with grown men, and there are grown men that don't know how to do dishes. Did you know that? Like little kids, my wife said, how'd you do? I said, I'm exhausted. Because I would do everything and they'd sit watching. I was babysitting. Nate's going to be next week and he's going to help me.
Well, I didn't say that.
You are going to help me. Because we got some rookies going up there, some lily white sissy preachers. And I got 5 days to make men out of them. Listen now. I just need you to do this real gently with me. Have you sensed from the church and from your conscience pressure? Have you felt pressure? Pressure to be, pressure to appear, pressure to do. Pressure. Let me just say, anxiety. Pressure. Last night, Terry and Ashley, both here today, they went to help Brittany at her home yesterday. My wife went to help Brittany do landscape work. She's been feeling better. Can you imagine how the hospital and just go landscape work? They came home exhausted. They said, we're starving. Please take us to eat. Don't make us cook. So going to the restaurant, Terry said, look at my jeans. And her knees were full of mud, grubby. She went in the room, took a bath, laid down in bed, and thought, I'm just going to lay here a minute, got to get up and take her medicine, da-da-da-da. I walked in there, and she was out. I had to pick her up, take the pillow, put her down, cover up, tuck her in, like a little kid, like a little baby. And this morning, the Holy Ghost said to me, sleep. I'll take care of you. I'll cover you up. I'll make sure you're safe. I'll watch over the night. This is a word from the Lord to you. It's time for you to lay down. It's time for you to rest right where you are right now. Not try to figure out now, what am I going to do with what the pastor's saying? Don't manufacture something out of this word. This is exactly the opposite of every preacher that's ever preached in your life. I'm telling you, today, the message is don't do another thing. Don't do another thing. Don't come to the altar and pray. Don't come up here and cry. Don't go home with a determination in your heart. Forget it. Your determination hadn't gotten you anywhere up till now. There's no reason to try that again. It's time for you to surrender. It's time for you to just say, Lord, I just receive you, because I'm going to tell you now that all the stuff that we have manufactured has come up short of the joy and the peace and the miraculous presence of God. And I feel like God wants to show up and show out mighty, because there are people who believe in him. Just believe in him. I'm giving you permission to take a nap. I'm giving you permission to rest. I'm giving you permission to quit it. I'm giving you permission. Stop it. Stop trying so hard. Forget everything everybody told you. He sees you when you're naked. You don't have to worry about what you wear. Oh. I know. I told you it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever heard. I wish, I'm going to close my eyes while you uncross your arms. I'll close my eyes. So you can go, okay, at least try to hear this. Everybody say first things first. First things first. The first thing is not your response. The first thing is his gift. First thing is not your saying amen. The first thing is the word that came to you. Am I right?
Yes.
And we've made our response the most important thing. That's not first. That's not priority. That's not the biggest deal. The biggest thing is for him to come into your life. And he tells us exactly how to do that. You quit. You stop. I'll do it. Quit paddling. Quit driving. Quit pedaling the wheel. Stop it. Stop it. Quit trying to figure out tomorrow. How many of you have had plans dashed? Honest to God, broken hearted, dashed. Plans, you tried, it didn't work out, and you can't figure out why God didn't bless your plans. Help me, somebody. And we don't realize that it's backwards. That's backwards. We're supposed to rest and flow with his plan. I'm telling you, there are people. You know, the richest man in Germany, he was the fifth richest man on the planet. Now, we talk about guys in America, the richest man, Warren Buffett and all these different people. The richest man in Germany committed suicide in the 1980s. Because he lost in the market, the world market, during the crash, he lost about $50 billion. And he only had $21 billion left. And he stepped in front of a train because he didn't know how he could survive the downturn in the market. Now that's ignorant. That's as crazy as you worrying. Like you're not going to be taken care of. Like he can't take care of your stuff. Like you think you have to have all that. The truth of the matter is you're competing with other people. You're looking around and you're not like a kid. You're not like a child. You're trying to keep up with everybody else, and you're striving just as crazy as the world is striving, and he wants to deliver us so that the light will shine out of his church where there's peace. I'm right. I'm right. the most miserable moment of my life. And Terry will tell you this. I've told this all around the country and around the world. I was sitting at a red light in South Bend, Indiana, about 35 years ago, when a woman walked in front of our car. She had white plastic go-go boots. Have I just dated myself? Go-go boots, a mini skirt, a tight sweater, and she was like 90 years old. And it wasn't just the sight that freaked me out. It was the effort that woman had to try to keep something that was lost. And beauty is vain. And youth is fleeting. And life is full of anxiety unless you do what Jesus said. Let it go. Go to sleep. Take a nap. Rest. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of your children. I'll take care of your children. I'll take care of it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, God. Are you ready? Matthew 13, verse 33. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. When we talk about yeast in the Bible, we often talk about sin, because in the book of Exodus, when they were to leave Egypt, they were supposed to leave all the yeast out, and they had bread that was unleavened bread. Leaven, leave the leaven out. Jesus is unleavened bread. But this is a parable that just blows that theory. And here it is, Cindy. If you'll let the kingdom come. Elizabeth, if you'll let the kingdom come into you today, here's what it says it'll do to you. Ross, this is what it'll do to you. Just a little bit will end up filling you up. I feel like we're not far from the kingdom. Bob, I think our church has made a lot of progress over the years. I'm thrilled. I think we're not far from the kingdom. But I'm telling you that the yeast is going to fill the whole lump. God might have your hands, cause you guys clap real easy. And if I tell you to stand, you know, you stand and you plant your feet and you're happy. I don't know if he got in your head yet. I think he's going to fill the whole lump. He's going to fill you up. Until it doesn't matter what everybody else says and what everybody else is doing, you're going to have peace with God because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit today. Be filled. The yeast is going to fill the whole thing. A large lump. That means you that have a real hard time figuring this stuff out, he's going to get you. It's going to happen. Listen, this is new to me. This is 2 weeks old. He said to me, why don't you quit trying to manufacture something out of this and just receive it? Why are you making everything work? Why are you making everything so hard? Why do you keep your nose to the grindstone? That's what I was taught. I mean, he's reprimanding me. I'm in a 2-week spiritual correction here. And I want to know if it sounds right to you, because I'm saying to you, God said to me, quit it. Stop it. Mickey, stop it. Can't you just sit and receive? Can you not just let me? How about me and you instead of you, me, and everybody else? Where's you and me? And I'm telling you, there are preachers that are coming that are out of their minds, worn out, because they don't have a personal relationship with God. It's God, them, and everybody else. Me and God, and how am I going to treat Terry? And me and God, and what am I supposed to do with my kids? And me and God, and what am I supposed to preach on Sunday? And God is saying to me, stop it. You're making a fool out of yourself. Because if I receive him and the yeast is filled the whole thing, well, then what will come out will be his stuff. And I think that's what's happening right now. Because I didn't sing today for you. And I didn't sing. And I sang less today than I've ever sung in this church. I listened. I listened, Courtney. I actually listened. I looked at the words and I listened. I thought, I like that. For me. For me. Me too. And I'm saying to you, don't sing so we can raise the rafters or fill the house with. Sing because you got it. It got in there. It got inside me. I'm telling you, I won't look at her, but I'll point my finger at Lori. I'm telling you, Lori Sabin, if you'll rest, the stuff that comes out of you will be Holy Ghost. It'll just flow. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I want to give Lori permission to go on a sabbatical and just rest and quit trying and have peace and see if God doesn't show up out of that. I'm just telling you, because like the yeast of sin that creeps back in. She said it. It gets back on you. It's like it's a constant battle to keep that darkness away, isn't it? What if by God the yeast of His presence were to fill you? What if by the Spirit you just said, okay, I'm not going to rest with this, and let Him battle the darkness. Let the light shine in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. What if you quit trying so hard and said, I believe in you. I believe in you. So that what comes out of us is faith and goodness and kindness and mercy. Am I making any sense? Here is what He spoke to me this morning. I heal blind eyes. So He's going to heal your eyes so you can see. And I tried to do this. How do you do three? Do any of you do three like that? How do you do three? Three? How's easiest to do this way? Because I want you to do this. Stand up here by me. Hold my microphone. I want you to do three with your left hand. And two, this can be our new gang sign. This is a gang sign. This is Grace Place gang sign. Three. Can you do three upside down? Left hand. Three. Drop it. Whew. Three, two. Right hand, two. You know what that means? Me, two. I know that this is T-W-O, and I know what I'm trying to say is T-O-O, but I want you to do it. Ready? Me, two. You read about the people in the Bible who He healed their blind eyes? Me too. He's healing my blind eyes. He said, I'm going to open the deaf ears. You know what I want you to do? When somebody gets blessed, I want you to go, me too. He set people free? Me too. He lifted people up? Me too. If He can raise the dead, I want it also. I want Him to raise me from the dead. If He can set me free from anxiety, me too, me too. I don't want it to be a story for somebody else. Do you understand? It isn't selfish. It isn't selfish for you to say, here I am, Lord. Me too. Dude. Hey, there you go, Brenda. Yeah. I'm telling you, you need to hear the word of the Lord today. He opens blind eyes. He's going to give you ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. He's going to fix your legs. You've tried so hard to go on crippled legs and crippled ideas. Are you listening to me? You've been broken down, but God's going to heal you so you can go again, so you can motivate again. Some of you feel stuck. He's going to say to you, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And I'm saying, if He did it for that man, then me too. Me too. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what God is doing. And I'm telling you, we have been so long, so many generations, leaning in, pushing, working, trying, that we've missed the beginning. First things first. Receive Him before you try to do anything. Do you know how? My wife has said to me, do you know how to receive anything? I'm a whack job. The counselor said to me like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you need to start asking for help. Did he not? Said, you need to ask for help. You think you can do it all by yourself. And you can't. You need to ask for help. You need to quit trying so hard. That's all I know. That's all I know. My value comes from the work I do. I identify myself with my work. Matter of fact, I've had preachers say, you are what you do. No, not more. Not me. I are what I don't. I was identified by what I do. How about if I get identified with what I don't? How about if I get identified with saying I believe in God and what God does? I'll be identified with what He do, not what I do. Somebody's got to get this. I'm trying my best. I can't say it. I'm only 2 weeks into this revelation. But I'm going to tell you, you can feel in your spirit there's something right about that. Because it feels sinful. Delicious. Wonderful. Somebody telling me to take a break. Whew. If that was just God, I'd do it. Pastor's telling us to rest. Man, I'm glad he backslid. That sounds good. Sucker, I knew he's going to compromise. We're going to lose all our holiness. Somebody say amen. You know I'm telling you, you're getting my point, because all I've heard all my life is go and do, and we're exhausted and we're hurting and we're in trouble. We're in trouble mentally. You have been in trouble mentally. You've been struggling. And the truth of the matter is you're not going to think your way out of that. You're going to have to believe your way out of that. Well, Jane, you got something?
But the Lord brought it in my spirit and let me know. See, my husband and I got married. We were 17 years old. But the Lord called him to preach when he was 14. So all our life we were in the ministry and preaching here and there. But the Lord reminded me that half of my life I was sitting praying that the Lord would save my husband, because he wasn't doing it like I thought he should. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't doing the things like we'd been taught that this is the way it's done. And so I prayed for him. I was a great prayer. I did. I was his backup. You know, I sat and prayed for him when he preached and so forth. But I still prayed. I said, Lord, he's not doing it right. He's not doing what he's supposed to. Would you please save him? And I spent that time doing that and said, Lord, please, I don't want him to be lost. Would you save him? God was using him, but he was using him out in the world that I didn't think that he should be doing. He should be doing it in church. And that's what happened. The Lord brought it to my mind not long ago that this is what I did. I said, Lord, forgive me. Help me. And he's still working on me, let me tell you. I'm not all bad, but he's working on me.
That's beautiful, Jane. That's beautiful. Did anybody get what she was saying? Oh, God, I'm going to beat my head raw. I used to pray in the basement at 310 West Monroe, little church in South Bend, Indiana. I prayed. I'd lay on that floor and pray till my nose bled. I wanted God so bad, I'd intercede. I called it intercessory prayer. I'd pray. I prayed. I bought in the 1970s what they called Swedish knit suits. Shiny. Remember them Swedish knit suits? Anybody remember that? Am I way too old for some of you? Let me just tell you something. You could fly around the world and live in a Swedish knit suit and get out of the airplane, and it looked like you just had it pressed because you could not hurt the crease. And I said when I was a young preacher, Jane, I'm going to pray till I wear the knees out. My God, I wore my knees out, but not the pants and my suit. Those suits outlasted my knees. Then I thought, if I gain enough weight, I have to throw these suits away. I did that well. Now I have a prayer chair. And I sit down. Because God's not pleased with your hurt knees and your distracted prayers. I'm going to hurt you. Are you ready? Some of you may never come back. I don't fast anymore. Used to fast. I don't fast. Jesus said to the people that came asking him, why don't your disciples fast? He said, well, they don't fast when the bridegroom is with them. Well, they'll fast when he's gone. Well, I've got him with me. I don't intercede and pray, and my nose don't bleed anymore. I say to him, you got to take care of this. I can't do it. Now, I'm going to go fishing, or I'm going to take a nap. But I can't do anything about it. These people are out of my hand. That's out of my league. I can't do anything about this. And you know what? I used to have stomach problems. You can ask my wife. They thought I had ulcers. I was sick all the time. You know why? I was worried about you. I was worried about all the people that were against me. I was worried about people. People don't show up at church. And people get mad at me now. Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? Don't you care? I certainly do care, but I can't save you. If God doesn't save you, there's not a thing I can do for you. Preachers are losing their minds. Cancer, stress, it's killing them. And I want to live. And I said, I got to learn this. And the Lord's been talking to me. You've got to receive, man. How about you take a drink? I don't know if there's anybody here. I'm sure there are several of you that I have said to you when you come to church, man, get a drink today. Just take a drink. And I think I've taken permission now to take a drink. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for a relationship, Craig. I know I'm wrecking your world because this is exactly what screwed our heads up and twisted us. The pressure killed us. And the Lord is saying to you, sir, use rest. And you, like Jane Skinner, will look back and say, I don't know why I did that. What was I thinking? I wasted years. I've wasted years. And when the Holy Ghost speaks to your pastor, I'm going to change my mind. When he talks, I'm changing my mind. I'm not doing it anymore. When I come here, I was singing, I'll be on my feet. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spend part of my time, me and him, not worried about who's behind me watching my hands go up, not who am I inspiring by getting on my feet. I'm the number one worshiper in this church. There's nobody loves that choir more than I do. Nobody thinks Nate's better than I think he is. But I'm not on my feet for you anymore. I'm on my feet because I want him. Me and you. Me and you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm trying to work this out. I'm working it out while I'm talking. I'm trying to tell you that he is saying to you today. Listen to me. He's saying to you today, the yeast will work its way through the thing. You don't have to work it. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to make it work. You don't have to make it work for your kids. He, the yeast, that's the kingdom, is gonna work its way through. It's gonna. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It will happen. He said, this is what the kingdom is like. The kingdom is like a woman who put yeast in the lump and the whole thing got filled with it. That's what it is. You mean we didn't have to do it? No. He'll do it. Joe, you got something to say? It's happening right now. You know, present tense. Listen, you know what I'm doing? I'm putting yeast in right now. And it won't stop. It's going to work in you. It's going to work in you. It's until you get this anxious moment, you're going to stop and say, no. No. The Holy Spirit just checked me and said, don't go run. Don't go crazy. Don't go anxious. Don't go. Sit down. I think I need to pray again. I heard you already. Please listen to me. Please look me in the eye. I got to teach you something. Quit fasting and praying. Is that on tape? Put that on the internet. Jesus said, I know, Terry, I'm trying to help. If they don't get it, I can't help. God has to help them. Listen to me. Jesus said, you think that you're going to be heard by your much speaking. Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. And I know people that pray and pray and pray and pray and think by their praying, by their sore knees. I thought by my dry mouth, bloody nose, and sore knees, I was somehow convincing God. Listen to me, young people. When you ask, ask in faith. Don't doubt. He'll give you what you need. Ask him and then walk in it. Hear me now. And if he didn't intend for you to have a new red convertible, you won't get it. So quit asking. I have two cancer places on my body right now, one on my chest and one on my leg. I was anointing them every day with oil and praying, oh God, take this cancer away. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. This is a long time ago. I told you this before, and this is all part of this revelation. He said, stop it. You've already asked. Do I think that how many of you think that by repeating yourself over and over and over and over again, you actually thought God was going to hear you and do it later? Come on, put them up. Honest to God, you thought, if I keep asking, he's going to do this. He's going to do it later. I am setting you free because he loves you more than that. He loves you. He's already working on it. You don't have to beg him. Come on, somebody help me. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to get on your face and beg him. He knows what you have need. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm telling you, healing's coming to you. Healing is coming to your body. Because he wants to heal you. And we could have prayed and fasted, but God Almighty has a gift. If he did it for you. Would you tell them about who you are? They don't know who you are. What's your name?
My name is Dory Knuth. I've been coming here a few weeks. And I just had surgery a few weeks ago. And I got a little story with this verse. But he says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Well, you know, right before that surgery, I had a really deep feeling of dying. You know how they'll say if somebody's dying, they know it? And I thought, boy, I must be dying. And I was grieving. And I hear that song, Oh, Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days. And every time I'd hear that song, I would cry. I would sob. And I just couldn't understand why I was doing all this grieving about me dying. You know, I'm the one dying, but somebody else should be doing the grieving. But anyway, the night before the surgery, I had to come to terms with that because I found myself fearful. And I said, God, why would you allow me to die now if you have all these great things for me to do? And you know what he said is that when you go into that surgery, yes, you're dying. You're dying to the old self. And when you come out, you're lifting up into the new self. And in other words, there was no more looking back. What was behind me wasn't going to hurt me anymore. Yes. Because he took it all away when I went into that surgery that day. And, you know, I was always busy trying to correct my husband and trying to fix my kids. I have a son on meth, and I want to fix him so bad he looks like death. But God said, you can't do it. You have to let me do it. And so now I have to keep my mouth shut, and that's a hard thing for me to keep my mouth shut. But the big thing I think God wanted me to say today is that, yes, I was dying spiritually because I kept looking back. I kept seeing all the bad things. And I cried when I just hear that song. You all know that song, don't you, Grandpa? Well, you know what? The day of surgery, there was something that happened in my marriage. And my husband and I had a different relationship. And the main reason was because I died. And God brought me back into a new life. And that was the main thing God put on my heart.
I love that. I love that. What I heard was, I got a son on meth that looks like death. And moms, you can carry that as if you're responsible and as if you are God until you are broken under the weight of addictions and sins and brokenness. And you got to give it to God. You got to give it to God. Because what he's saying to you is, today, first, somebody say first. First things first. First, receive me. And if you've ever done it, I need you to say amen to this. Then after you receive him, he changes your mind. He does a thing. Something happens in your head. Something happens in your head. Something happens real in your head facing surgery, and you realize God has been at work in my mind, and he's setting me free from fear. Quit saying prayer works. Say God works. Stop saying prayer works. Because you're talking people into praying and praying and praying and praying and praying until they think if they just prayed harder or longer. And there are people that have died, and other people felt guilty because they thought if I'd have prayed more, maybe I should have gone and laid hands on them. Maybe I should have fasted some more. They wouldn't have died. No, they were going to die that day and that moment because it's appointed unto men to die. But then when you know the Holy Spirit is on you and God's going to raise somebody up, and I've been there. I was there with Jane. I've been there with several people in this church that had cancer. My wife said to me on the phone, I hung up the phone one day. She said, did you just say that person does not have cancer? I said, yes, I did. The Holy Ghost said, no, no cancer. That person's not going to die. Do you hear me? But if he doesn't do it, there's not anything you can do about it. Are you listening? This is not against prayer. This is not against faith. I'm telling you that faith says, I've asked him. Faith says, I gave. He's going to give it back. So you don't fret all day long. Jane, calm down. The end. Well, come on here. But no.
Before my husband passed away, I helped him to bed one night. And he'd lost both of his legs, and I had to help him do everything. But as he got into bed, he began to speak in other tongues. And now this was different for my husband. I don't know if I'd ever heard him give a message in tongues. And so he began to speak in tongues, and so I knelt down. I fell down by his bed. And I said, Lord, if you want me to know what this is, you're going to have to tell me. I don't know. And so my husband began to speak then, and he gave the words. He said, I called you from your mother's womb to be my child and to preach the gospel. And he said, I put you in the palm of my hand, and no man can take you out. And it was a wonderful message, and I felt it was to me to let me know that Jesus loves me, and I love him, and he loved my husband. Yeah.
I'll finish by saying that if Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it was, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked and he would have given you a drink. If you knew Grace Place, if Terry, Lori, if you know the gift of God, Angie, ask and he will give you a drink of living water. Don't go thirsty. Don't be dead, the living dead. Don't be sad and overwhelmed. Don't be so career-minded and money-minded that you lose the joy of life. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry. Don't fret. Let the peace of God fill you up. Do you get it? Are you hearing me? You've tried and you've tried, and he is saying to you, turn it over to me. Give it to me. And I tucked Terry in last night. She awoke just for an instant. I tucked her, covers around her neck like a little girl. She liked it. And I think she was asleep before I got out of the room. There's no doubt that she was asleep before I got out of the room. And this morning the Lord said, go to sleep. I'll take care of it. That same look from him to me. I'm almost 60. I can take care of this. I'm a man. You don't have to tuck me in. I'm cool. I got this. Not me. And then he said, well, unless you become like a little child, you don't even get to see what I've got for you. Am I right? You're worn out, and I give you permission. Right now, I give you permission to enter the kingdom. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Just close your eyes with me and rest a moment. The Bible says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Breathe it in. He will not fail you. He has never failed. He knows where you are. He knows the way that you take. Just rest. Think about the birds. They don't have barns. They don't sow and reap. They don't work. They just fly around, and he feeds every one of them. And you're worth more than birds. Think about the flowers out in the field, not the ones at your house, the ones that nobody planted. Think of the lilies of the field. They don't have to go to Walmart. They don't have to go to TJ Maxx. And Solomon, in his finest robes, didn't look near as pretty as those flowers. He's going to take care of you. Somebody get off the rat race. Come on, get out of that. Right now, just get out of it. Stop. Just stop and take a breath and go, I want to live in the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.